Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:27 PM Pacific Summer Time, and today is March 30th. And I thought that today I would start off with Chinese banks. They pulled back a little today in line with the wider market, but it was against a background where the banking sector has come through with better than expected profits, and that they have been able to cut some of their bad loans. So why would the market be pulling back, people might be asking. And the reason is that there is the prospect of liquidity tightening. And that is in part driven by the central bank's actions to try and deter speculation. The other reason is that they've been running loose policy for a long time. So they may be approaching a period of time where they would be willing to support the possibility of raising rates further. And when we look at that banking index, this period where the market has been trending higher in a moderate fashion for much of 2016 has been really quite inert. And that's relative to the kind of volatility that we know that the market is prone to over the preceding 7 or 8 years. So we cannot completely discount the potential that the market isn't going to enter another period of outsized volatility. So the market is now pulling back to the region of the trend mean. The banking index is a considerable weighting in the A-share index. So what happens just now is likely to be of really quite a lot of importance. If China is embarking on a process of potentially tightening, the Indian market is going through one transition after another. It was only a few months ago that they launched the 4G network for the entire country, and now after 17 years of negotiations, they have finally agreed that there is going to be a GST tax that will at least help to streamline some of the rather onerous burdens that there are in place to disencourage intrastate trade. In many respects, it's easier for Indian businesses to embark on expansion overseas than it is within their own country, which is a rather odd situation, and this may help to ameliorate that situation somewhat at least. The most important fact, of course, is that by implementing a GST, they widen the tax base. Then there is also, once it is in place, they have the potential to extend the scope of potential instruments that can be brought under its umbrella. So it is a potentially very important move, and the Nifty continues to hold this move above 9,000. It is potentially now completing what was a 2-year range, and it is being led higher by the banking index. The Bombay Banks Index has been a reliable lead indicator for the Indian market for a very long time, and it is extending its breakout. So that is really quite important. The other additional indicator of optimism towards India is the rupee. And while the rupee was a little bit weaker in here today, certainly not in a dynamic fashion. By far the most important fact is that it has broken the dollar's uptrend, and that uptrend has been in evidence for really quite a considerable period of time, so this is significant strengthening by the rupee. There are a number of arguments that I have seen propounded saying that the Indian market is expensive, and if one looks on a PE basis, then perhaps we could make that argument. If we look at, for example, the Nifty's description page, we can see that the price-earnings ratio on a historic basis is 22.54. But the price-to-book is around 2. And the lowest that it was that we've seen it at was back in 2008, and we're testing that level again. So it really does depend on which fundamental one picks from the menu. The market is telling us that that investors are moving back into India, and that is by far the more important consideration. After the UK triggered Article 50 yesterday, the euro has begun to weaken. And that is because, at least partly because, what we have now is we have at least some surety about what is going to happen in the UK. And it is all now down to some uncertainty with regard to, one, how is Europe going to respond? How acrimonious are the negotiations likely to be? And then who is going to be doing the negotiation? We've got an election in France in April, an election in Germany in October, and in between there is going to be the fact that Greece is going to run out of money in July if the IMF can't be brought back on board. It is interesting that the IMF did not withdraw its support for the bailout because Greece was not fulfilling its obligations, but rather it disagreed with the European Commission's onerous demands on the on Greece. Part of the reason that the EU has been so onerous with regard to Greece is because of the German election, and that holds out the potential for the Greek situation to become a lightning rod for sentiment and anti-European sentiment in Germany ahead of the election. So this is by no means a settled question, and just because the Dutch did not support the populist cause does not mean the populist cause has suddenly disappeared. That there are any number of potential catalysts because the root has not been excised. The real way the real way to combat the populist tensions that are increasing in Europe would be fiscal stimulus, and we just haven't had that yet. The Euro Stoxx index, and this is the broad index, was again higher in here today. The weaker euro is certainly part of the reason behind that, and the most important thing that has happened is that it bounced at the beginning of the year to break the medium-term progression of lower rally highs, and it continues to extend this advance. The Nasdaq today moved to a new all-time high, and incrementally so. It was up about 10 towards the close now, and is in the process of countermanding that downside key reversal, and it is looking increasingly like a not particularly bright trade to have been short following that downside key. So I'm not going to suffer for the faith if this rally persists. What we certainly know, though, is that this is still an overbought condition relative to the trend mean, and there is still potential for an unwinding of that overbought condition. When we look at perhaps the mid-cap index, so the Russell 2000, it has now failed to sustain the breakdown from that from what is a four-month range, and is pushing back now to test that short-term progression of lower rally highs. And again has almost countermanded the downward dynamic. What we can see from both of them, though, is that the index has gone up slower than it came down, that we have not had an emphatic rebound, that there are people rushing in because they want to buy the dip, but not in sufficient numbers for the market to go up in a very rapid manner. So there is still the potential that we are going to be in a rangy environment, and if the consistency of the trend, such as it is over the last 7 or 8 months, is going to remain intact, then we are due a range that could last for upwards of a couple of months, and we really have only been ranging for about 2 weeks now. So if the market moves on the upside, then that will represent a picking up on the pace and a widening of the imbalance between supply and demand, and it would also represent the beginning of a widening of that overextension, which would be beginning to characterize an acceleration. So then that would raise the potential that we would move into a period of time where we could be moving not from a consolidation but to an acceleration, which could be followed by a medium-term correction. So there is a lot to play for in these markets right now. The oil market yesterday had a pretty good day, and it followed through somewhat on the upside today, and Brent was up about another 40 cents. So this is a reasonable bounce now from the $50 area and the region of the trend mean. It is bouncing from exactly where it needed to. And that is beginning at least to put some pressure on shorts. The bigger question, of course, is whether it is going to be able to push above $60. That is where we know that a great deal of additional supply becomes economic. With oil beginning to firm, natural gas has also been firming over much of the last month. When we look at that on a longer-term weekly chart, then we can see that after the big crash in 2009, it has been confined to this very volatile range where trough-to-peak swings are in the order of 200%. And prices are currently bouncing from the lower side of that range, and around $3, then this is still very much a kind of a cheap commodity, considering that every time it has got down below two in the last almost 8 years, it has bounced pretty emphatically. And the gold price, which had got up to test that $1,250 area earlier in the week, has begun to pull back a little bit. And that is perhaps not overly unexpected. With the dollar firming up somewhat, the impetus on the dollar price of gold has come off a little bit. The more important point is whether it is going to hold the $1,200 area on this current bout of weakness. This is still around the region of the trend mean. It continues to represent a consolidation in the region of the trend mean, and the more important point is whether the $1,200 area holds, and then that would and I think that we are still in this range-bound environment between about $1,000 and $1,400. So we're right in the middle of that range. And provided the $1,200 area holds, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the potential for additional higher to lateral ranging over the balance of the year. And if we look at the commodity index, there has been quite a bit of variability in the performance of commodities. And the CCI index, despite the fact that the oil price was a little bit firmer today, was down. It is testing the region of the trend mean, and it will need to hold that 415 area if this is a truly a consolidation. It has completely unwound the overbought condition, and I think that the London Metals Index gives us perhaps a better idea. We can see that this index is continuing on a recovery trajectory. It has a strike, even though it is unweighted, it has a striking resemblance to the copper price. And copper continues in this rangy environment following that massive reaction against the prevailing downtrend. So if the downward pressure on the commodity index is not coming from oil and it's not coming from the industrial metals, then it must be the precious metals and the soft commodities. And wheat prices were down again in here today. This has been a consistent downtrend. Selling the rallies has paid off, and it is falling through the 200-day moving average. The sugar price was down again, and that is now moving to a new reaction low. So we can definitely then see where is the pressure coming in the commodity sector. It's in the softs. And I think cocoa is perhaps the exception. Cocoa prices were up today. They've already experienced a very sharp decline, and there is now the potential that this downtrend is being broken. I think that the risk, though, is that the soft commodities are going to weigh on the index, but that we do need to look through what the weakness is, that if we have somewhat stronger oil prices and stronger metal prices, then that is consistent with better economic growth. the fact that the stock market has been so firm and that the reactions are still relatively mild, even if there is a risk of a reversion, that also suggests that we are in a pretty firm economic environment. And even though we have all of these questions about exactly what's going to happen in Europe, the fact is that companies are doing pretty well, and that the respective economies are firing. So we do have now the potential that economic growth is going to surprise on the upside. That does raise the prospect that interest rates are going to rise. And I think the most important point is that the bond market doesn't appear ready for that at all. Over 10 years, the yield is still only 2.4%, and that's still very low. The yield is right at the lower side of the range. If this is still a rangy environment, then the balance of probabilities is that it is going to bounce back up towards 2.6%. And just a note about tomorrow's audio. I will be out of the office for a few hours, so I probably will be recording the audio a little bit later and posting it probably around 4 or maybe 4:30 p.m. my time, which would be about midnight in the UK. So you can look for it on Saturday morning in the UK. And with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.